With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Coming up on podcast 1208, Tesla's Model S plaid version sets a new Nürburgring record. What's that all about? We're going to find out on today's show. Stick around. Also today, more range for the Polestar 2 and Volvo XC40. We've got new cars from the Chinese NIO and XPeng heading to Europe. And how big is the Rivian gear tunnel? And is it worth it? Motor Trend, let us know. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily. It's the weekend, Saturday, 11th of September. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story. It's my job to look at hundreds of stories every day, bring you the 20 minutes of news to save you time. That's my job. Weekend watch recommendation, or indeed, if you're watching YouTube at any time, and you want to make sure you only pick out the best stuff because you're busy, I recommend Tom Malogny's State of Charge YouTube channel. My buddy Tom from the Inside EVs podcast, we do every Friday, has made a new video charging up his Volkswagen ID4. Now, Tom is one of the world's leading experts in how you actually use electric vehicles, how you charge them, how to interpret that. And he tells people who watch his channel, whether they're owners or getting into EVs, why so-and-so is important, why something's not important, and really interprets that data and really kind of makes sense of it. Well, before he charged the Volkswagen ID4, not from 0%, so he got a new ID4, wanted to redo that test and talk a little bit more about it. Although they've done some DC fast charging tests on Tom's channel already, he had the chance to repeat it on an ID4 first edition. So he drained the battery down to 0%. That often means, at the end of a long trip, just driving around a car park until the car literally won't go any further. When he plugged it in, it went to 123 kilowatts all the way to 30%. That's a really good charge rate for the VW ID4. Now, it has an 82 kilowatt hour battery, 77 kilowatt usable. And if you're new to the podcast, that just means you don't get access to all of the battery. They keep it as a bit of a buffer. And it means that one of the nice, happy side effects is that charge speeds and indeed charge curves, we'll explain that in a moment, can be really good on the VW ID4. Peak rate's meant to be 125 kilowatts, but Tom has seen 131. Always nice to have your expectations exceeded. But all the way up to 30%, he was charging at 123 kilowatts or more, like I say. That took 12 minutes. And if you just need a quick splash and dash to get home and then you can charge the car overnight slowly, that's great. Like a 12-minute stop is really just grabbing a coffee and you've got a 30% already. But if you want to get to 50%, well, that took 20 minutes. Again, not exactly arduous, is it? And after 40 minutes, it was at 80%. Now, again, after half an hour of on a road trip, if you stop for half an hour, it starts to get on a little bit. So maybe you don't want to go to the full 80%. But if you do, you'll have taken in 67 kilowatt hours. So while the vehicle was charging from 0 to 80, the average power that it took is 110 kilowatts. That's 88% of its peak rate. Let me explain why that's important. There is no point at all in an EV having a headline figure of how quickly it charges. If it does it for 10 seconds at the beginning of a charge, and then it just quickly ramps down, slows down, and it takes, forever to charge. And Tom's point was, from a 0% to 80%, the average was 110 kilowatts, and that is amazing. 88% of its peak rate, like I say. So a really fascinating video if you, like me, are into kind of understanding, what does this mean? So you plugged it in, but what does it all mean? So really good. That's why he's a huge fan of the ID4. Next, Tesla Model S plaid version has been pounding around the Nürburgring and achieved a new record. I'm doing air quotes. I'm not sure why I am, but I am at the minute. A record with a standard trim. Well, yeah, we'll get onto that. One of the photos, well, the video that I'll pop a link to in the show notes shows the yoke being used. So the yoke was used. I've seen external offboard shots taken by spy photographers at the same event, and they were using a round steering wheel. So look, make of that what you will, but the Tesla video they officially released has the yoke being used. An electric production car lap record. So, you know, there has been faster electric cars like the VW, the IDR went around it, but the electric production car record, so really the only car that it's trying to beat, is the Porsche Taycan. So really the headline should now be Tesla's a bit quicker than the Porsche Taycan, because that's the very specific record that it did indeed set. Around the Nürburgring, 7 minutes, 30.9 seconds. The onboard video I'll pop in the show notes, because Tesla clearly very proud of it, put it online straight away. So this isn't a verified record by the Nürburgring officials, but still interesting to watch. Max speed was 177 miles an hour. That's 286 kph down one of the straights. Looks like a standard car to the naked eye. Yes, there's a roll cage installed. Yes, there looks like there is some electronics inside. New dashboard, racing dash, kill switch, center console changes, bigger brake discs up front, I think, on the offboard shots I've seen. They've added some bigger stoppers, so when you really want to throw out the anchors, you can bring the thing to a standstill. But Tesla saying, oh no, it's a stock car. So I don't know what the pictures I saw online of the bigger brakes. But either way, go and have a look at that video, and you know, it's interesting to watch. You and I will never do that around the Nürburgring. But still, you know, Elon likes his honours for someone who is so successful, has created so many amazing things, clearly financially very successful. Elon Musk is enormously insecure if somebody is even like 1% better than him or any of his products. And so we'll want to go out and, you know, beat them. Look at the spat he's having online right now with Jeff Bezos from Amazon. Like, my goodness me, come on. YouTube billionaires, stop it. Well, Bezos isn't even replying, or it's like, it's weird that we're, you know, hey, you take the good, you take the oddities as well with people like this. Elon Musk has also shared insights on the Plaid's track pack, the modifications that Tesla will implement for their flagship car, and a potential strategy to roll it out to owners who want to modify their Plaid versions for track performance. According to Teslarati, next will be modified Plaid versions with added aero surfaces, carbon brakes and track tyres, all things that, you know, can be done without Tesla being in the loop, I guess, and some software changes as well with a new track pack and a track mode. Rivian are next in the news today. Well, Motor Trend were very lucky to get not just, you know, a day or two, but weeks with the R1T from Rivian. They really did get treated very well by Rivian over at Motor Trend, and they've published almost an article a day, if not more, about the Rivians. And they say that not only is the truck impressive, but what about storage? Well, there's the 4.5-foot bed, the frunk, the in-bed trunk, and the gear tunnel. What about the gear tunnel? Well, the answer to what can you put in a gear tunnel, because it sits kind of behind the rear seats, under the rear seats, really, and it runs all the way through the vehicle. They say, well, whatever you like. Really, it's pretty big. They put carry-on suitcases in there, duffel bags, backpacks, briefcases. The gear tunnel is deep, they say, and if you're good with Tetris, you can fit more stuff in than you think, if you can fold and bend and squeeze stuff in. The storage space designed to fit golf bags, skis, snowboards, strollers, anything that kind of gets dirty as well, because you can hose that area out. But, you know, umbrellas, fishing poles, anything like that. It's got a 12-volt outlet in it and a 110-volt outlet as well in the gear tunnel, one at each end. Next, we'll talk about Polestar in the news today. Polestar goes further with the Polestar 2, getting 7% more EPA range versus the last year's model. The 2022 Polestar car has 7% better range. The latest EPA ratings show that it had about 16 miles or 26 kilometers more, now sitting at 249 miles or 401 kilometers official range. And the same can be said for the Volvo XC40 Recharge. Volvo also confirming that the 2022 model year XC40 Recharge sees changes that gain driving range compared to the outgoing model. Specifically, EPA combined range is 7.2% better Not a huge number, but actually you wouldn't turn your nose up at, you know, 15 more miles, would you? So for 2021, the XC40 Recharge had a base price of about 53, the new model about 55, according to slashgear.com. I'll pop a link in the show notes if you want to read more about Volvos and Polestar 2s going further. Coming up on the podcast, we'll talk Chinese EVs and we'll get a bit geopolitical. Hey, it's the weekend. We can do that. Stick around.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now we'll talk about NIO on the podcast. The European debut of the ET7. NIO presenting the ET7. It's a saloon sedan. Unveiled in China earlier this year. And in Germany and in Europe unveiled for the first time. And NIO confirming the ET7 will be the first model launched in Germany. Goes on sale in 2022. NIO had announced the market entry to Europe via Norway. Starting this month, the first examples of the ES8, that's an SUV, get delivered from NIO. Now they're confirmed in Germany that it won't be the SUV, the ES8, but instead they'll launch with the ET7. The sedan, the saloon, 5.10 metres long, premium saloon, 480 kilowatts of power, perfect for the Autobahn. And on the old-fashioned NEDC range, 1,000 kilometres of range. Maybe two-thirds of that is often about right. Don't be too mean to the NEDC, but it's not reality. So maybe 600 kilometres of range. It's got a 150 kilowatt-hour battery pack, and the car is very slippery. So if you put 150 kilowatt-hours of anything into anything reasonably slippery, it's going to do decent mileage, over 400 miles. Huge battery pack, and that arrives in Germany fourth quarter. So you got a year to wait, Germany, but fourth quarter of next year. Staying with NIO, the ET7 could well be coming with a lithium iron phosphate battery. And well, this podcast wouldn't be this podcast if I didn't bang on about lithium iron phosphate batteries at least every 5 minutes these days. NIO Day was earlier this year, back in January, wasn't it? They were talking about their first ever sedan, the ET7, and a reversion of that with low-cost batteries. The chemistry, lithium iron phosphate, takes out the cobalt, is not as energy dense as those cobalt-rich batteries, but they are, compared to the kind of ternary lithium-ion batteries, they are more stable, they're more durable, you can charge them to 100%, indeed they want to be charged to 100%. They can deliver more power as well, great for performance. A CNEV posting saying that information released by China's Ministry of Industry and Information Technology saying the ET7 is included in their list of models, part of a product announcement, which shows it could have, at least for the smaller battery pack, which I think was 90, I think, lithium iron phosphate, according to finance.yahoo.com. LFP batteries are cheaper than lithium iron batteries you'd find in other performance EVs, and it could make the ET7 a more affordable version to their customers. Staying in China, XPeng are launching their P5. That is another low-slung saloon car sedan, not as premium as the NIO ET7, though. Officially launching their third battery-powered model, September 15th, so not even a week to wait. Full of LiDAR technology. This isn't about the luxury, this is about the tech in the XPeng, or Xiaopeng, if I say it correctly like that. Full of LiDAR technology for autonomous driving. The P5 is being marketed as family-friendly, unlike its more expensive sibling, the P7. Pre-sales of the P5 began in mid-July. XPeng saying the pre-sale this summer has been enthusiastically received, according to FutureCar.com, who write that the company first unveiled the P5 in April at the Auto Shanghai Car Show. Deliveries start in October to Chinese customers. Well, the P5's double prism LiDAR sensors will identify pedestrians, cyclists, scooters, static obstacles, construction zones, some might even say emergency vehicles on the side of the road, even at night and in low light conditions and travelling in a tunnel. All things that Tesla, with their pure vision and their vision only system, are still, let's be kind, I will use the word, finessing. Pop a link to Future Car in the AE show notes if you want to read more. Now, let's talk about electric vehicle charging stations. I was reading the website petrolplaza.com. Now, if you run a petrol forecourt, you're going to love this website, petrolplaza.com. But they were digging an article about electric vehicles and charging stations. I thought I'd read it. Found a paragraph that was really interesting, so I thought I'd bring you this because it makes sense standalone, but I'll put a link if you want to read the whole article. They say that electric charging stations are equipped with a wide range of self-diagnosis opportunities and can report their errors directly. However, the story doesn't end with diagnosis and an automatic error report. Who cares about the repair process? Who commissions the service provider to undertake a repair? Who informs all responsible persons? Who forwards the information, like, you know, the navigation devices of vehicles heading to those chargers that actually, hang on, it's out of order for a day, a week, a month? The solution is when right actions are taken in a timely manner. For this to be an end-to-end workflow, needs to be established for charging networks. Good news. Such workflow already exists, and it exists in the traditional fuel retail. Just apply it to EVs, says petrolplaza.com. The job becomes how best to integrate their systems and generated alarms and processes for the right service teams, as in fuel retailing, the right checks are in place to be performed. The better the organisations of the fuel and charging station, the higher the possibilities to stand out and develop a market position. And that's fascinating. From the point of view of petrol retailers, they're looking at EV charging and going, well, it's interesting, but look, they're always out of order. And why are charging stations out of order? Why isn't there an automated system to say, hey, there's an error, we need diagnostics, get an engineer out? Because, hey, if a petrol pump isn't working, that's revenue they're losing minute by minute. They'll get it fixed. That system has been placed, you know, 100 years of getting that system right. And they're saying, hey, charging stations haven't got this right at the minute, so we can come in, and whoever gets it right can take a market position. And it's one of the things that we've seen makes me so, so sad about the charging networks in this country. I was a huge fan of ChargeMaster. And then it got bought by BP, British Petroleum. They stuck with the name Polar for a while, but they did a rebrand. It's called BP Pulse now. And I have so many problems turning up to those, either them being out of order, not working, can't start a charge. Some of them won't accept my card. I can't use the app to start it. Earlier this week, I went on the M11 motorway. I was driving, and I ran it down to quite a low state of charge because BP have put some new 150 kilowatt latest, greatest fast chargers in. I'm like, well, they'll be working, right? It's the new stuff. Just it's a brand new install. And I'd looked on ZapMap, and people had used it over the last few, you know, weeks. The positive. I turned up, and the whole site's turned off. Like, just the chargers had no power to them. And it's like, it's on one of their BP forecourts. And my patience is done now with BP. That was the final straw, crawling to another charger so that I didn't have to call a tow truck. And it's like, they've got no, at the moment, ability to stay on top of the maintenance, which is, you know, I've got friends at that company, and they're good people, and they want to do the right thing, but something's broken there. Look at other networks around. I like, you know, Instavolt, Osprey. When, you know, it was an Instavolt charger, I think, in the city of Portsmouth or around here on the south coast. It was a car crash. Like, the car flipped over, and it wiped out both chargers. How the driver didn't get Shocked. I mean, that's a good sign, right, that EV chargers are safe. But anyway, absolutely wiped out these two 50-kilowatt DC fast chargers from Instavolt. Less than a month to rebuild the entire site. New chargers installed, done. All the brickwork done. I mean, this car had literally just kind of flipped over, rolled along, and flattened the charging stations. All done, fixed, up, new ones. Brilliant, amazing. And that's what we need. And so interesting, the petrol industry, of which obviously British Petroleum are very good at that, they can fix their petrol pumps. Why can't they fix their EV chargers? I will leave that question hanging in the air for you to answer. A variety of theories on why they can't, won't, I don't know. I should probably talk to them in some sort of official manner and like reach out to, you know, the guy I know there that does press and I don't know, because it's a horrible conversation and he's a great guy. It annoys me. It was a once great network, but they're really screwing it up at the moment, in my opinion. But they would argue with me, but hey, there you go. Let's talk about, we'll finish the podcast on some politics today, geopolitical issues, and we'll talk about war-torn Afghanistan. It might be at a low point in terms of the history of that country. And it's been through turmoil. But in terms of industrial richness, Afghanistan has the potential with huge reserves of minerals. Afghanistan's mineral reserve is valued at $3 trillion US dollars. And a chunk of that is lithium, one of the essential minerals required for EV batteries. Afghanistan is sitting on a high value mineral deposit stash, and it has a rich reserve of tungsten, lead, copper, iron, mercury, and lithium, according to Hindustan Times. Experts estimate the country may have the world's largest lithium reserves. In fact, the lithium reserve in Afghanistan, if it can be extracted, could beat Chile, Australia, and others. Well, this article goes on to write, despite having a vast reserve for lithium and rare earth minerals, Afghanistan lacks the infrastructure to extract them. The demand for lithium, cobalt, and neodymium has been increasing, but extracting them is an investment. US, European, and Asian companies have shown interest in setting up mining there, but it's too unstable in the political scenario, and the country's barred them from doing so. But there is one country taking a very keen interest now the US has pulled out of Afghanistan. That is China. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. IAA Mobility Show this week in Munich has highlighted the latest, greatest headline grabbing cars from around the world. But what do you think needs electrifying to fill a gap in the market? Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out on tomorrow's bonus podcast for question of the week. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, if you can leave a little review on Apple Podcasts, always goes down very well. Thank you very much for those that have done it recently. Thank you for that. Helps other people find this show. Hi, hello to the Patreon family and our premium partners. That'll be you, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.